Hi, welcome to the second episode of the Hooligan Report. This is your host SM back once again, and with me tonight I have Cruyff14.
Good evening.
And I also have Cookson returning.
What's up, all?
Rightio. We'll get started with getting straight into Group E. We've discussed Groups A, B, C and D last week. Now Group E has Switzerland, Ecuador, France and Honduras in it. Cruyff, what are your thoughts on the group?
For me, France is obviously the strongest team in the group. I think they'll top it. Switzerland possibly finishing second, or Ecuador, Honduras, obviously a dark horse, but it seems they are the weakest team in the group and will most likely finish bottom.
And yep. Cookson?
Pretty much the same. France will be top of the group, provided they don't get into a massive shit fight, as what the French usually do.
As they tend to do, yeah.
But usually probably Ecuador and Switzerland will be fighting for the second place, and I'll probably back Switzerland in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting that you say that about France, because with them leaving Nasri out of the squad and now with Ribéry being injured, it's almost going to do them a bit of a favour in that respect, that hopefully, there won't be too much conflict in the squad.
Yeah, definitely. They obviously have the depth to cover Ribéry, though, so I don't think they'll have much problem.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. I think the most interesting player for me will be actually Mathieu Valbuena. He's looked really good and really sharp in the lead-up friendlies, and he's maybe a bit of a lesser-known player because he plays with Marseille in France, but he's definitely one that's impressed me in what I've seen or heard of the friendlies leading up to the World Cup.
Yeah, Marseille playmaker, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit interesting because he's so short. He's quite diminutive that maybe people underestimate him a little bit. But no, he's quite impressive. And I got to give a shout out, of course, in the Honduras squad. We've got Maynor Figueroa, so one of only two Hull City players going to the World Cup. But you had to give him a shout out. For Ecuador and Switzerland, who do you guys see as the main players to watch that could fire them out of the group?
Shaqiri, Inla. That's all I can think of right now from Switzerland.
Zaka. I'm not good with names.
Oh, Xhaka. Granit Xhaka, yeah. Yep.
Then for Valencia, we've got Valencia for Ecuador. He's probably the most well-known player, and looking through the list, maybe Felipe Caicedo, since he's got 50 caps and probably the best scorer. Yeah, I'm not really sure about Ecuador apart from Valencia.
Yeah, I mean, Switzerland's one that always surprises me because they don't strike me as a country that produces that many top-line players. You know, they might have one or two here and there, but they seem to do all right at the on the World Cup stage.
Well, Hitzfeld's a good coach, so he won the Champions League with Bayern, so he's capable of getting results.
Yeah, well, it will be interesting to see how they go. I think Switzerland play Ecuador first, so that could almost be the playoff for the second place first up.
Definitely.
That will be probably a bit of a one-sided group, I suspect, with France topping it. And they will play the runner-up of the next group, which we'll go on to now, which is Group F, which is another group there. I think there's pretty much a standout team in Argentina, but they're joined by Bosnia and Herzegovina. My pronunciation, of course, being top class. Iran and Nigeria. How do you guys see this group?
Argentina on top.
Yeah, followed by Bosnia, who I think are a dark horse, and Iran and Nigeria to fight it out for third. Most likely Nigeria, though.
Yeah, I mean, Iran's one that surprises me because obviously they're above Australia in the world rankings, but, I mean, you don't hear a whole lot about them. So, I mean, it's a bit surprising to see them at the World Cup, and good luck to them, but it'll be a tough group for them.
Yep. It's looking through the Argentina team, it's... Well, you just imagine that the forwards and midfielders will go good with Di Maria, Higuain, Messi, and Aguero, but possibly the back four could be their biggest weakness, as it was in last year's World Cup, 2010, sorry. So yeah, that's possibly... And Messi will, of course, is key. He has to have a good World Cup for Argentina to probably have a deep run along with Aguero and Di Maria.
Oh, absolutely. I'll go into Argentina a little bit later on as the team that I'm focusing on. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's still quite crazy to think that Messi hasn't scored a goal at the World Cup, and you'd have to think if they're going to have much of a chance of going all the way, he'll really have to step it up this year.
But in saying that, that comes back to the previous coaches when they had Maradona in charge, didn't really know what he was doing. So I think that contributes to his lack of goals in a World Cup.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good point, because I think a lot of the observations have been that this World Cup, Argentina's really focused around Messi, a lot like Barca sets up. So, yeah, this should be the stage for him to really shine.
Yeah. Well, look at Bosnia's team. We've got the goalkeeper, Asimir Begovic. We've got the Roma midfielder, Milan Pjanic. We've got Aiden Jako. And there's probably some other players whose names I can't really pronounce. So whenever we try.
Ibisevic, Misimovic, Spahic, decent squad.
Yeah, I mean, they're a surprising one because, yeah, they're another one that, I mean, maybe first up they don't really strike you as having a strong squad, and then you see some of the names and they do actually have some quite impressive players playing for them. So I do rate them to go, obviously, second in the group, and then who knows from there.
Yeah, I agree.
Nigeria, who's under a bit of a match-fixing investigation. As we've all seen, the Scottish game where the goalkeeper quite literally threw the ball into the net.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite... I mean, it wasn't in the lead-up to that game, the whole thing was that the game was going to be a 2-2 result, and not surprisingly, I guess it was. And, yeah, you see the footage of him with the ball, and it doesn't look great for him. I mean, they don't have that many standout players themselves. I think, I mean, they've got Victor Moses, I think.
Enyama, the keeper, Mikel,
yes. I mean, they've got a few players. So, I mean, it's another group where I think Nigeria and Bosnia might fight it out for second. I'd probably back Bosnia to come in over the top, but you probably can't discount Nigeria too much in that group. But Iran probably not looking a great chance to get out of it. I guess moving on, we can talk about Group G, where it's a bit more interesting.
All four teams.
I mean, you could see any of them going through, couldn't you?
Yep. Got Germany, Ghana, Portugal, and the United States.
It's quite interesting, I think, focusing on the USA, first of all. They played a game, I think it was against... I can't recall who it was, actually, but Jozy Altidore, who hasn't had the greatest of seasons for Sunderland, is actually looking pretty prolific for them. So he seems to be one of those players who his national, international form can vary quite strongly from his domestic form. So I do actually think that, you know, with Ghana, Portugal and Germany all quite strong teams as well, that'll be quite an interesting group.
For me, Germany are the clear winners of the group, but...
Yeah.
Stranger things can happen, but I just can't see them not topping the group.
Yep. I think as well for Portugal, with the injury or the injury concerns around Ronaldo, that they rely on him so strongly for their drive and their attacking potency. I mean, you look at how they qualified against Sweden, that if there's any doubts over Ronaldo, they're probably going to struggle a bit.
Well, question is, no Ronaldo, no Portugal, or can they cope without him if he doesn't fire? That's a big question.
Well, exactly. I mean, you almost wonder, could it just make them a bit more unpredictable and actually help them in some ways? Like you see, if you know, quite often in the AFL or another sport, if your main striker or your main attacking option is missing, you can actually become a bit more dangerous because the opposition doesn't know who to lock down.
Yep. We probably should also look through the teams. We've got Germany, and it's pretty much quality all the way through, which makes me kind of jealous as an Australian. With names such as Neuer, Hummels, Khedira, Schweinsteiger, Özil, Schürrle, Podolski, Kostler, who's...
Lahm.
Yep.
It just keeps going and going.
Draxler, really, Cruz.
Picking 11, really. You could pretty much just... They'll get into the semis, the Germans, it's what they do. Portugal, who do have some players who aren't called Cristiano Ronaldo, believe it or not, with Madrid fullback Fabio Contrao, Monaco player Yao Matinho, got Nani from Manchester United, and they've got everybody's favourite bastard, Pepe.
Yes. Well, Matinho is the one I actually think could be quite interesting, especially if Ronaldo's missing, because he could end up being quite a crucial player in their midfield.
Yep.
And who else? I mean, going back to, I mean, I've obviously had a bit more of a look at the USA. I think another interesting player for them is Bradley in midfield. From all reports, he's looking quite quite dangerous and creative in their midfield. So if he can link up with Altidore, and you've also got, you know, Landon Donovan's and that sort, those sorts of players.
Howard
down the back. I mean, they're another one that do have
Donovan's
strong
options
not, through the back.
Donovan's not at the World Cup.
Oh, isn't he? Yeah. Oh, there you go. There goes that player. But they do have some strong players throughout the park. So it'll be quite interesting to see how they go. Especially with their strike options up front, they could be dangerous. I mean, last World Cup they were in England's group, I think, from memory.
Yep, England, and Algeria, and some other team, Slovenia.
Yeah. Oh, they've got. Just having a look at their squad now. Yeah, so Michael Bradley's the one that I'm talking about. And they've got, you know, Clint Dempsey, Jozy Altidore are probably looking a little old now.
Beasley.
Dempsey is. And sorry, who?
DeMarcus Beasley.
Yeah, Beasley. Howard. It's kind of funny to see that they have such strong depth in their keepers, because they got Howard, Guzan, Friedel used to be around as well. So they're one of those countries that seem to have crazy depth in keepers, but... maybe lacking a little bit in defence, looking at their defenders. Not too many players stand out there.
Ghana.
And Ghana, of course, are a strong side as well.
With Asamoah Gyan, Kevin Prince, Boateng, Sully Montari, Andre Anu, Mensah could probably do a job. Who else is there? Oh, I just got Michael Essien, who's probably a bit old, but could probably do a job.
Yeah.
Depends how his legs hold up.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the problem. When you're getting a bit on the old side, so you do have to question how those players are going to pull up playing the games. But who do you guys see going through in this group?
Germany. Yep. Germany and Portugal for me.
Oh, potentially USA. They're known for their upsets.
Yeah, I think USA stand out to me. I mean, but obviously,
you can't discredit Portugal with Ronaldo.
Yeah, I think a lot's going to come down to Ronaldo's form for Portugal. But I do agree. I could see the USA pulling out an upset and getting that second spot. It's interesting. Again, the order of the games does play a crucial part, and the USA obviously have their first games against Ghana. So if they can get the win there. I can't see them pulling off a win against Germany, but as you say, stranger things have happened. But in that second game against Portugal, that could be the crucial game. If Portugal comes off a loss against Germany and the USA can, you know, eke out a draw with Portugal, then, you know, who knows what will happen.
Yep, exactly right.
But moving on perhaps to Group H, we've got Belgium, Algeria, Russia and the Korean Republic. That's another group where you've got probably Russia and the Korean Republic fighting it out for that second spot, but probably Belgium favourites to top the group.
Belgium could go a long way. They got quite a good squad, and they're very much gelling together at the right time. So it's not this World Cup; it's probably the next one. I mean, they got Courtois, Kompany, Vertonghen, Witzel, De Bruyne, Fellaini, Lukaku,
Benteke, Morales, Hazard,
Januzaj.
The last few years, it's been amazing the amount of Belgian players that have just popped up in the Premier League
but
all of a
sudden.
But
the thing with the Belgian squad, though, they lack the experience, so you wonder how far they can actually go with the lack of experience.
Well, yeah, no, you're exactly right. That's probably my question mark over them. This is probably one World Cup too early for them. I think you're right, Cookson. I think next World Cup's probably the one I'd be looking at for them.
Us. 2018 will probably be their year, and Queer Republic probably have a solid team for their standards. There's very much some good players in there. Lee Chun-Yong. Who else is there? We've got Son Heung-min, Park Ju-young.
Prolific Arsenal goal scorer.
Yep. Still, you just don't know of South Korea. They probably lack the physicality of a lot of teams, but
they got the engine.
Yeah. But they just keep on keeping on. like Terriers down at the deep.
Yeah, Algeria. Well, the only player that really stands out for me with Algeria, I mean, you've got a few good players. You've got Hassan Yebda, who's at Udinese, and a couple like that.
Bentaleb.
You've also got. I was about to say, I was surprised to see that Bentaleb made the squad at only 19.
From Valencia.
So they've got a few interesting players, but you can't really go past probably Belgium. And look, I'd like to say Korea, but I do agree. I think the lack of physicality, I'd probably give the edge to Russia in that duel. I think Russia do have a pretty strong squad as well.
Yep, they got super comfortable. Read these names out. Pronunciation is important, as we all know. Ankiev, Dagov, Alan
Zagoev.
That's it. He's got it. This is when I've got a pronunciation here.
Hold on. I'm coming.
Yuri Zhikrov, the captain.
Zhikrov.
Vasily Braskuski.
Akinfeev, the keeper. Shirakov.
Denisov's a pretty good player from what I from what I've seen of him. So they and
Ignashevic, experienced defender.
Not bad. Alexander Kokorin and
Kurzhikov.
Is decent strike options. Surprised.
Ashavin.
Ashavin's missing. Yeah. Is he injured or
no idea?
What's the story?
It's coach too. I didn't realise that they've got this outside chance with Capello.
Well, that's the interesting thing as well. Yeah, I mean, Capello's obviously got the runs on the board, so you'd hope that they'd be able to get past South Korea in that respect, and then obviously they would take on the winners of the previous group. So, I mean, it wouldn't get much easier for them because they'd probably take on Germany.
Yeah, you'd imagine.
So no, it will be tough. But I think, all in all, it's looking. I think there are a few interesting groups. I think from what we've highlighted, Group G will be pretty tightly contested. And from what we were talking about last week, probably I think the Group D, England, Italy, and Uruguay is the other one where I think could be quite an interesting group.
I can't see England getting out of that group.
Like we talked about last week, I think a lot comes down to that first game in Manaus for England. If they can get a result against Italy, who knows? But, yeah, it'll be a tough group for them, I think.
I just don't rate their squad highly. I don't rate Hodgson. I can't see the way they're playing at them. They struggled against Peru and, I think, Honduras.
Yeah, Honduras.
Come up against Uruguay and then Italy, who aren't great, but they're very organised. It's tough to see where England are actually going to get points from.
I think it was interesting to see, and I mentioned this last week, it was interesting to see Scholes' comments. As you're saying, their playing style, that if they can come out and be a bit more attacking, a bit more, you know, get a bit more pace into the side, that would be promising. But I just, yeah, like you say, with Hodgson, it's not looking great.
Well, they have Chamberlain, but I think he's missing the first game, they said.
Yeah, I think he's
then why would you play Sterling over someone like Welbeck or something like that?
Don't get me started on... I mean, Welbeck's not a terrible player and
he's not starting 11 quality by any means.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And I think Hodgson's probably picked a better squad than a few people would have expected, but I still think there's a little bit of an aspect of big-name clubs getting picked rather than the players that necessarily should have gone.
I agree.
And not to mention the right-back situation is essentially Glenn Johnson, who's shit. Then you got Smalling, who's a centre-back, and Jones, who's, again, a centre-back. So a lot of weakness
the right
on the
right
side.
Yeah, the right is very weak for England.
Yes. I mean, how do you guys see England lining up in that group? I think because England, obviously, apart from... Australia is probably the team that most people are focusing on. How do you see England?
I'd go Hart, Johnson, Cahill, Smalling, Baines, Gerrard,
Henderson probably.
Possibly Henderson, Wilshere, depends. Front three, Rooney, Sturridge, and Ox. Or Lallana even.
Yeah, I'd like to see Lallana start. I think Lallana could
Barkley
be...
Barkley and Wilshere are good impact players.
Yeah. Do you rate Sterling high enough to see him getting a start after at some point?
After the season he's had, yes. After this season, yes.
I'd probably see... I actually see England lining up differently against Italy because they need to shut down PLO. And as again, Welbeck would be the man to shut down PLO on the flanks because he did a fantastic job against Xabi Alonso when United played Madrid. So I'd probably see some changes being in, but the front three will probably be Rooney, Sturridge and Lallana.
Rooney play that 10 role?
That'd be interesting. Rooney in the 10 role?
What Hodgson's doing, isn't it, I think?
That's the thing with Rooney. He doesn't like to really...
he's not a 10, he's a 9.
But that's the problem. It shouldn't be about Rooney. It's about the squad. But, again, you've got to shuffle things. But I'd play Rooney at centre forward just because of England's depth in the 10 position. But each to their own, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, it will be interesting. It's hard to write England off because obviously they have quite a well, if not necessarily a good squad, they have a well-known squad, and so you look at it on paper and you think that they should be getting through. But as you say, I mean, Uruguay and Italy are pretty strong. I think a lot will rest on whether Suarez is fit, and I think that's still relatively unclear about how that'll
just
go.
Just looking at England's squad, I'd start Milner at right back over Johnson.
Do you reckon Milner could do the job there? I mean, I do. I agree.
Anyone can do a better job than Glenn Johnson at the moment.
Complex. Yeah.
Well, that's another one. I mean, Glenn Johnson going is another one that you have to question about whether Hodgson's picking him because he's the Liverpool player rather than necessarily the best.
What other right backs were there for England, though?
Well, let's see. Klein, who they didn't take.
Ward Prowse.
Yeah.
So it's really Southampton players.
Maybe put Shaw on the right.
Because Shaw does play. That's what
he's a left back, though.
Name I was
thinking.
But he has played on the right.
But can you put an 18-year-old left back in his first World Cup playing on his opposite side?
True.
Well, like
they've got Kyle Walker too, but who knows?
Yeah.
I don't.
No, well, it will be interesting. Now, I think we'll move on. I think. This week we've also discussed taking on specific teams each and having a bit more of a focused look at each of them. I believe, Cruyff, you were going to look at Germany.
Yep, I'll be looking at Spain.
And I'll be taking a look at Argentina. So maybe you will start with
Germany. All right, their first game's next Monday morning at 2 a.m., I think, our time. As we saw during the week, Marco Reus is out of the World Cup. Big question if they can cover his loss. Podolski and Schürrle can play on the left with Julian Draxler as well, but are they good enough to cover Marco Reus? Lahm's being used as a DM of late, like he has at Bayern Munich. Is it his best position? Well, we'll find out. Personally, I'd play him at fullback. He'll probably line up in the middle with Schweinsteiger, you'd imagine. I think the experience of Miroslav Klose will be vital to them. World Cup's leading scorer, I believe.
He's one-off.
One-off, yeah.
Yeah, one-off Ronaldo.
Oh, yep, my apologies. I think a good impact sub to have. And looking at their midfield depth, it's astonishing, really, when you have Lahm, Schweinsteiger, Müller, Ozil, Cruz, Draxler, Schürrle, Khedira, and the young unknown Christoph Kramer from Borussia Mönchengladbach, who only debuted in May, but had his breakout season there. What Joachim Löw's been playing right now has been Götze at false nine. Can that work? Will it work? Should they do something more orthodox? Or we'll have to wait and see. And their first game is against Portugal. Will they be able to contain Ronaldo and stop him, stop Portugal? We'll wait and see.
Yep.
It will be interesting. I mean... Where do you see Germany with a chance to win it, or do you think with Reus out injured, it's taken a bit of a dent to their chances?
For me, it's harder without him, but I still think they'll make quarters or semis at the very least.
The German, they'll make the semis.
Yeah.
Bad year for them.
Workhorses. and they're playing near the beach and it's constantly warm there. You have to wonder if that will hinder them later on the further they progress. 33, 34 degrees expected around the area they're playing in, so will the heat take it out of them in the long run?
Well, that's where you get the South American teams probably perform a little bit better because they'll be a bit more acclimatized, perhaps, yeah. But if we can see Germany knocking England out on penalties again, I think that would be pretty enjoyable. Even as much as I'd like to see England doing well, you can't help but enjoy a penalty loss to Germany with a bit of good humour. Moving on then to Cookson's
team. The Furious Reds, or La Roja, in Spain. You've got quite a solid squad with Casillas captaining and Def in goalkeepers with David De Gea and the Pepe Reina. And how I see them probably lining up is I'm not too sure about the right-back position, so I think that will go to... where is his name? I think possibly Juan Fran or... Where is he? Need to find that
guy. Azpilicueta?
Yep. Or Raul Albiol. Not really sure if that was. But lining up in the center of defense, it would be Sergio Ramos and Gerard Pique. On the left back, it would be Jordi Alba. Defensive midfield, it will be Sergio Busquets with Xavi and Xabi Alonso ahead of him as the key playmakers. On the right, I suspect it will be either... David Silva or Pedro Rodriguez. Center forward, Diego Costa, if fit. If he's not fit, it'll probably be Cesc Fabregas in a false nine. On the left will be probably Spain's best player and their key for winning this World Cup, being Andres Iniesta. But also look out for David Villa, who's signed for New York City and will be playing for the now defunct, now called Melbourne City Football Club. They've got some solid, good young players too, with Koke in the squad, and also got everyone's the most cuddliest Spaniard in the world in Juan Mata, who we all love very much.
You can't help but love Juan Mata, no matter where he's playing, whether it's Chelsea or Man United. He's still much loved. And be honest with me, Cookson, how many do you think they'll put past Australia?
Six.
Wow.
Six.
So best case scenario, do you reckon if we limit it to three or four, that's a good day?
We can limit it to two, which I think we can do if we are defensively perfect and Matt Ryan has the game of his life, then yes. Although we can do well against Spain, it's just we're going to have to work our asses off like we've never seen before.
I worry about Fabregas as a false nine. I personally don't think it works.
Yeah, but then again, the alternative is Fernando Torres, who's a pot noodle, pretty much. Makes Tyrone Vickery look good.
Is Villa in the squad?
Yep.
I'd start him, personally.
I think, though, waiting on Diego Costa. If he's fit, he'll probably be starting all the games.
He will boss most centre-backs, really. It's scary to think what will happen against Australia.
Yep.
You have to wonder whether Costa starting in the Champions League final might prove
definitely for him at the World Cup. Definitely.
Because Simeone admitted it was a giant mistake. He shouldn't have started at all.
Yeah, I mean, it cost him the Champions League, and it could cost him pretty dearly, at least for the first few games at the World Cup. So, absolutely, pretty big stuff up there from Simeone, I'd say.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, if Costa's not fit, as you're saying, it's really Torres or perhaps Fabregas in that false nine.
I'd play Villa, but
yeah,
they seem settled with the false nine, so it looks like it would be that with Fabregas lining up as a false nine, but I personally wouldn't do that myself.
No, well, it will be interesting to see how they go. I suppose we'll move on to the team that I was focusing on, which is Argentina. Argentina, of course, one of the world's best players, Lionel Messi.
And they're not managed by Koke this World Cup too. That's also very important. They're not managed by someone who's off his balls in cocaine, which is also very important.
Well, exactly. Helps their chances considerably. And Messi scoring in their last match out, I think, is promising for them. He came off the bench. I think It is interesting to see a lot of the squads are suffering from a couple of injuries in their last few warm-ups, so I think Argentina are a bit tentative there. Their only injury concerns at the moment are Palacio, Biglia and Demichelis, who all have slight knocks, but should be right to go, if not for the first game, later on in the tournament. I think apart from Messi, who's obviously going to be the big creative force for Argentina, the one to watch is probably Garay, who's quite an impressive defender for them. And as you touched on earlier, Cookson, I think their big concern is their defence, but Garay is proving to be quite adept down there and has actually caught the eye, as I understand, Manchester United, might be on the move to Manchester United, so could see him lining up against Zabaleta in a Manchester derby in the near future. My starting 11 for Argentina would probably be, judging from the way that they've been lining up recently, would be with Sergio Romero in goal, Marcos Rojo on the on the left of defence, with Garay and either Fernandez or Campagnaro in the centre. Fernandez seems to have gotten the nod more recently, with Zabaleta on the right. Probably Mascherano sitting in front of them as a defensive mid who could drop back when needed, as in, you know, as the role that he's made his own at Barcelona, I suppose. With Gago and Di Maria rounding out the midfield to make the 4-3-3 formation complete, we'd then have Messi, Higuain and Aguero up forward. So I think Argentina are obviously quite strong but offensively when you've also got
Lovitsi. In saying that, though, if you play a front three of Aguero, Lovitsi and Messi, who plays where?
I'd play Messi. Is that more
Messi in number 10 between the two? Then you got Aguero. Yeah,
Kun's wasted on the wing then.
Yeah.
That's the interesting. I mean, you could have Higuain, who kind of balances them out, as straightens them up, I should say, as the striker. But then, as you say, you've got Messi on one wing, perhaps, and Aguero on the other.
For me, Gaga and Di Maria don't work in midfield. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a lineup that I'd come up with based on how they've been playing. Personally, I'd much rather see them go in a 4-4-2 formation. Well, not even a 4-4-2, probably like a 4-2-3-1 formation with Higuain as the striker and maybe Lovetzi and Di Maria on the two wings with
Messi
dropping in the hole into the attack. I mean, Lovetzi and Di Maria to me seem to be much more natural wingers. And you'd either have Higuain or Aguero up forward with the other one sitting on the bench, unfortunately.
Yep. I'd play Aguero in front of Higuain. But Higuain performs well for Argentina, I think.
So where would you put Messi then? Because, I mean, if you have Higuain in behind
Aguero, I'd have Aguero starting before Higuain.
Oh, sorry, right, yes.
And
yeah, so you'd probably have
Aguero. And Messi starting in the 10 role.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's probably my preferred starting lineup, but I mean the way that they're looking like lining up, it will be interesting. I mean, I agree. I mean, if you have Aguero out on the wing and Higuain in the centre, it seems to be a bit of a waste of Aguero.
Yeah, Aguero needs to play through the centre for my liking.
Yeah, I think we're agreed there. I think he's most dangerous in the centre, and I mean he's had a bit of an injury interrupted season at Man City, but I think he's coming into his own right at the right time, and I reckon he could be maybe the golden boot at the World Cup. I think he could surprise a few if Argentina can get on a roll. But it will be interesting to see. I mean, similar to Germany, I can't see Argentina doing anything less than making the semi-finals and could see them going all the way.
They have the best attack on paper for me.
It's really the defence that's the question, I suppose.
Definitely.
But it is interesting. I mean, when you look at most of the squads at the World Cup, there are either squads like Belgium, I think, where this is probably one World Cup too early, or they've got incomplete squads. I can't, you know, there's no real standouts, I guess is what I mean. I mean, Brazil's obviously the favourites because it's in Brazil, but I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I just can't really pick a standout side.
Very even all around.
If it was in Europe, it'd be easier, but travelling to South America, it's going to be interesting to see how the European teams are acclimatised to the conditions. Obviously, all of the South American teams have an advantage. And you put, obviously, Brazil and Argentina at the top of that list.
And
yeah, well, exactly. I think you probably have Brazil and Argentina as the two South American favourites. And then Germany and Spain as the European
Yeah, but
players?
Having said that, Brazil's squad is not anywhere near its best squad that they're
well,
taking
yeah,
to a World
exactly
Cup.
That's exactly my thinking. And it's quite a young one. I mean, a few of the players might be good players on paper, but you can't really predict how they're going to go on the big stage. I mean, Neymar, Oscar, they're great players, but they're still quite young.
Yeah, definitely. But...
So, I mean, in saying that, we've done our predictions last week, but obviously missed yours, Cruyff. We predicted, I believe, the winner for the winners for each of the groups, the winner for the tournament and the Golden Boot, I think. So did you want to...
That was
yours
best player. Yeah, best player, winner, and winner, runner-up, and top scorer.
Put me on a spot. I'll say... I'll go with my heart. I'll say Germany. Best player, I'll go... No idea, actually. Absolutely no idea. And potentially Spain has a runner-up. Maybe Argentina, maybe Brazil. I don't know. It's too tough. What was the other one? Golden Boot, Suarez. Yep.
Suarez? So you reckon he'll be fit to play most of the
well,
matches?
Well, he can put a lot past Costa Rica and a lot past England, so that might be all that will need to do it. So we'll find out.
Yeah, that's true. Well, games get underway this Friday morning. I believe the first game is at 6 a.m.
Brazil versus Croatia on SBS1 and SBS HD. And for the Australian games on the Saturday, the 14th of June, this Saturday coming up at 7:30, it's Chile versus Australia. Then on the 19th of June at 2 o'clock, it is
That's
Australia.
Great time for a game.
Australia versus the Netherlands, which, well, I think we can win that, just personally. I don't even know why, but then we have, I believe, Tuesday the 24th of June, Australia versus Spain at the time of 2 p.m., so if you're in, 2 a.m., so if you're into having a really shit night and watching it gets vlogged, come join us all. I sit through that every week with St. Kilda, so it'll be nothing for me.
I can't see us scoring a goal, to be honest.
I was about to ask, of the three games, which one do you think we're most likely to get any sort of result in? Because I'd be leaning towards the Chile game.
Don't think we can... I'd say that's the most likely that we can get a result. But having said that, the chances of us getting a result against Chile aren't very high at all.
Yeah, so what do you guys see as the best possible outcome for Australia at the World Cup in terms of development or in terms of what you can get out of watching?
Not losing every game 5-0.
Yep. If we can get some... decent losses in, just maybe like, if we all lose each game 1-0. Yeah. I mean...
But the experience will be vital in years to come, but it's going to be very tough indeed. Especially when you look at how we played against Croatia, Ryan's goalkeeping for their goal was absolutely abysmal. He should have come out for that 100%.
It's tough because, I mean, my first instinct was that Jelovic was offside, and obviously left back played him onside, which made it tough, but maybe Ryan thought that he was offside. And, as you say, I mean, you shouldn't as a keeper, you should play to the whistle, but yeah, no, it wasn't great keeping.
Yeah, when I saw it, I thought straight away he hesitated too much. If he came out, I would have rushed the forward, potentially make him miss, but it wasn't to be.
All right. Well, on that note, let's sign off for the night. Thanks for joining me
no
once again.
No worries, SM.
And thanks for joining us
for the
first time, Cruyff. We'll be back here same time next week. Until then...